Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country 2 minutes at a time for the biggest stories of the day where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
It is the drill. Todd Lebo in for Sarin Petro. Let's kick this thing off in Charlotte, North Carolina with Travis Hancock from WFNZ. First off, how you doing, Travis? How you handling all the things going on with the world right now?
Oh, thanks for having me. We're handling a lot of NFL news, and if it wasn't for that, I don't know what we would do. But between the NFL and the Tiger King show on Netflix, that carried us here for a couple days, so we're good for right now.
That's about how we are here now. The difference in Kansas City is they're not getting rid of the MVP quarterback. The MVP quarterback's here. He's going to stay forever. The MVP quarterback, formerly in Super Bowl quarterback, Cam Newton, not going to be a Panther any longer. How are people going to remember Cam Newton at Carolina?
Well, you know, locally they're going to remember Cam, I think, for not just Cam the quarterback, but Cam did so much for the community here that maybe a lot of people nationally didn't realize. But Cam is the most important Panther of all time. Now, maybe not like Keekly and Peppers and Steve Smith might be the better overall players and careers than Cam, Hall of Fame type careers, if you will. But Cam got the city and got Charlotte on First Take, on Undisputed, on all the national shows. Cam was that type of figure, that type of polarizing figure. So I think they'll be remembered for that. And, you know, it just felt like it was time, though, Todd. It felt like we see how this all the time, and coaches at some point, they reach that point where it's just better for both parties for the split to happen, and it happened here. And I hope Cam has much success, but I think it was time with where the Panthers are at as a franchise to find the next guy. And right now that's going to be Teddy Bridgewater for the time being.
Do people there – I mean, where do you think he's going to go? It doesn't matter where he goes, but where do you think Cam's going to land?
Well, because the Panthers didn't really – you know, the Panthers didn't handle this thing greatly. It was never going to end well with Cam, no matter when he went, whether he played out this full year and then he got, you know, got released next year, or they did it now or whatever. It was never going to end well. So in terms of where he ends up at, there's not that many options because they kind of held on to him for a while. So we thought Chicago was a place because they're sort of built to win now. But they got Todd Foles. They got Nick Foles
right
in the process. The Patriots with Cam, I don't know, does Belichick fit with Cam? That could be a personality clash, and that's also a lot of pressure for a quarterback, right, to go replace Tom Brady with that media, that fan base, those expectations. Do you really want to actually be the guy after the guy with Tom Brady? So it all sets up to us that the Chargers are going to be that team. They have Tyrod Taylor right now. You know, he's okay, I guess, if you just want someone to manage things. But the Chargers have a really good defense, a great secondary. They got Bosa. They got the wide receivers. They got the tight end. It seems like the Chargers are just sort of right there for Cam if they want to pull the trigger. I expect at some point Cam to probably be a Los Angeles Charger. He was seen or photographed working out with Tyrod Taylor this week, as Tyrod posted on one of his social media accounts. So I think here at some point you're going to see the news that the Chargers signed Cam to probably a smallish deal.
That'll spice up the AFC West for us, no doubt about it, Scott. Or Travis, before we let you go,
I can keep Scott too if you need me to.
Yeah, well, I got a Scott come up next. The drill. I don't do this every week. This is how it goes. NASCAR hotbed, obviously, around Charlotte. The iRacing thing was a pretty successful deal last week. They're going to put this on Big Fox this weekend. People want something to watch on TV. What are your thoughts about this iRacing and NASCAR in the meantime? Because we can't have real races.
That was pretty cool, man. We talked about it a lot Monday, and that shows you where we're at. I heard the audio of you guys talking to Clint Boyer. I heard he was on our show yesterday as well. We love Clint here in Charlotte, obviously. But yeah, it was a fun thing, and I think it was NASCAR grabbing the spotlight because there's nothing else or no other sports can really grab it. So NASCAR doesn't always grab the spotlight anymore, even in Charlotte. So it was kind of cool. I thought there was more people hyped up for the iRace. Then there were some people that don't really follow NASCAR or were into the iRace. I thought it was a cool thing. I'm looking forward to Sunday with that. It was fun. It was also fun watching Jimmy Johnson totally suck at it as well.
That's always kind of how that goes. Hey, Travis, thanks for the time. Stay safe in North Carolina, okay?
You too, man. I appreciate it.
New York, New York is where we find Scott Seidenberg from ESPN Radio 98.7. First off, Scott, I mean, you know, we're here in Middle America. We see all the news accounts of the ground zero, basically, for this coronavirus stuff being New York. How are you and yours? Are you staying safe? What's your work life been like with these new things going on in the world?
A lot of work from home, a lot of makeshift studios around the apartment, and just trying to follow the stay-at-home orders. You know, it's crazy because so many people are not listening to authorities. You know, it's a beautiful day outside today, and you know, I myself went outside for a little half an hour walk. But you know, you see people gathering together still, and you just want to yell at them and say, "Go home, go inside." You know, it's kind of eerie. It looks like something out of a movie. But you know, I've seen tweets from people saying that they can hear birds chirping in the city for the first time in forever. It is kind of eerie, but as long as everybody does their part and stays safe, hopefully we get out of this thing sooner rather than later.
And one of the things that's obviously a hot topic in New York is baseball always. And we've got some new agreement type stuff, I guess, from Major League Baseball and the Players Union. What are your thoughts about what you've seen so far and how this may affect teams like the Yankees?
Well, I do think that what it's telling us is that we might actually have to push back the start of the season further than we thought. I understand the caveat that was put out there by ESPN's Jeff Passan that the league will consider playing games at neutral sites and will consider playing without fans. But if you read the first part of that agreement, it doesn't sound like we're getting baseball anytime soon when they say no travel restrictions, no bans on mass gatherings. There's going to be bans on mass gatherings for a while until this coronavirus pandemic clears. So I hope we get baseball sooner rather than later. As far as the New York teams, you saw the Mets have decided to let Noah Syndergaard undergo Tommy John surgery, which he did, and it went successfully. So he'll be out about a year and come back in mid-2021. But I do think the delay helped the Yankees, believe it or not, because they had a bunch of injuries to start the season. And now if the season doesn't start until several months from now, it's going to benefit them in the long run.
Yeah, it's all we need in Kansas City is the Yankees to catch a few breaks. You know, it's it's wonderful. National Football League hasn't been nearly maybe as much going along with the NFL teams in New York, but they say they're going to have the draft. I mean, the league office is there. What are you hearing from the NFL folks there about the fact that this draft is going to happen? It just won't be the party that it once was.
Yeah, and it can happen. And a lot of people might not realize this is how the draft used to get done. There was a time before the draft was this big primetime spectacle, right? So I think that as long as people can teleconference, they will be able to get the draft done and be able to make the moves. And trust me, scouts and GMs and coaches are going over their draft boards as we speak, and they're not going to delay in their preparations. What hurts is that they might not have places to gather. You know, if places like here, like in New Jersey and New York, where places are shut down, you know, in New Jersey, the Jets and Giants cannot get into their facility. I've spoken to some people who said that there's a possibility of renting out a conference room in like a hotel just to get some guys together in the same room. And, you know, with all due respect to social distancing, they'll do their part. But at least it's a hub in order to have a couple of people in the same location to do the draft, because with the lockdown currently, they can't get into their facilities.
Yeah, the old draft used to be like on a Tuesday or Thursday afternoon, and they just, you know, they were in the place, and that's what they did. I remember it wasn't that long ago at all, the Major League Baseball draft, you would literally call in this teleconference. You could listen to them make the picks, and they were all on the phone.
Yeah.
They would say, select player number 64894, third baseman from so-and-so high school. That's all it was. And now they're trying to make it into a thing. So these things can all be done without the pomp and circumstance. There's no doubt about that. Thanks so much for your time, Scott. Stay safe in New York City, okay?
Anytime. You as well. Alan Days,
Fort Worth Knights. Ari Temkin from Dallas, 105.3, the Fan, joins us now. First off, how you doing down there in Texas? How are things as far as the coronavirus goes where you are, and how's it affecting your life right now, Ari?
Lebo, how's it going, man? It's you know, I mean, it's certainly in terms of documented cases, not even anything close to some of the, you know, the worst spots in this country like New York or in Seattle. But, you know, that's just based on what we have in terms of testing. So, yeah, I mean, my family and I, we are quarantined, socially distant in our home, which is, I mean, it's a trip, man. I've got a 4-year-old son, a 1-year-old son. My wife is trying to work from home. I normally work from home. I host a talk show on Sirius XM daily on the Big 12 channel. And so, that's my home office there and do some other stuff. And so it's just been a trip to have to deal with, you know, having kids at home like everybody else is. It's like trying to get work done with the wife and kids at home. It's crazy.
My wife is a teacher, sixth grade teacher, and she's teaching from home right now. Which is fine for her, but we don't have little kids. My kids are grown, right? So I got a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old. She's like, I don't know how these folks who are teachers, who are her teaching partners, who have like a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, are getting this done at all at home. So I'm like, hey, we're in a pretty good spot as far as this goes. I come into work a little bit. I do a little bit of work from home. She's trying to teach some sixth graders from home, so we're getting through as well. Let's talk about the Big 12, because I know you're deeply into the Big 12. Commissioner Bowlesby's conference call yesterday, we've been talking about this for 24 hours or so. What was your major takeaway from the call with him, and where do you think this league is going to be, and how much effect will all this stuff have on the Big 12?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big takeaway was the notion of if we don't have football next year, we're talking about just doomsday scenario for the Big 12, for major conferences, for the NCAA. And that's obviously something that we know. I mean, it pays the bills, so to speak. But it certainly was sort of potentially face that reality, you know, pretty sobering. He also kind of mentioned the idea of, hosting college football games in venues without fans, which, again, just a crazy scenario to even think about. And then, you know, Lebo, I think what's interesting is sort of the minutia of, okay, you've got all these college football players that are home right now. So what are the specifics in terms of, you know, dietary help that a program can allow for? I mean, these are programs that they're very much in lockstep with all the trends in terms of dietary and protein and on and on and on. So, like, what can they send? What can they do? You know, I just felt like that's a really interesting component to this that I hadn't really thought about. And then, you know, obviously, too, the idea that every other team across the country is, you know, able to teleconference with, you know, their coaching staff to kind of stay in the loop on everything. And the Big 12 is not allowing that, and people are upset about that because they're at a disadvantage. But what Bowlesby said was, you know, he felt it was more important for these coaches and players to kind of spend time with family to make sure everybody's okay, which is great. Like, it's a noble thing to do, but there's no nobility here. There's no rest for the wicked. And, you know, so some fans and people are upset that the Big 12 is at a disadvantage. But there was a lot there. Bowlesby spoke for over an hour and 10 minutes. I heard the whole thing. And, I asked about name, image, and likeness. And he's a part of those discussions. And I kind of mentioned, does that take a back seat now? And he said, kind of, but, you know, you still have to move forward with that because there's a legislative process moving forward with that. But even in that, I mean, it's like the government's dealing with more pressing issues, the NCAA is dealing with more pressing issues. So I'm certainly curious to see what this does to those discussions, which was obviously, you know, a huge, huge piece to the college sports landscape, you know, this calendar year so far.
Ari Timken is our guest from Dallas. And Ari, one of the things that struck me was right at the beginning when he was talking about the finances, and he went through how much money they lost by not having the Big 12 tournament and how the NCAA is going to distribute less money. But then he talked about some of the savings. Now, he talked about getting extra money from having two football teams at the college football playoff level or the power or the New Year's Six level. But then he mentioned how they kind of saved some money by not hosting some of these spring championships. And I thought, wow, what if they get used to not having some spring championships? I don't know if I'm just reading too much into it or kind of doomsday kind of things, but this financially, we think these programs all have all this money because we see these big budgets and all this stuff, but man, it's thin. It's thin on some of these, and the first thing to go isn't going to be, you know, a scholarship in football or an assistant coach in football. The first thing to go will be some of the sports that people don't pay as much attention to. Do you think this will have a major ramification on the non-revenue sports?
Yes, but I think more so, obviously, if we don't have football. Like, it's a flesh wound, right? It's not anything that's that bad at this point. I mean, even Bob Bowlesby admitted that they can, based on their cash reserves, make each program whole based on the loss of revenues. Now, what does that exactly mean in terms of, you know, Kansas plays for a national championship or Baylor gets to a Final Four and, And you know, you're talking about more money that would have been associated with the NCAA handouts for the Big 12 in particular. You know, who knows what that means in terms of make whole. But, yeah, ultimately, I think this is a revenue shortfall that they could overcome. Now, does that mean that there won't be tough decisions just based on this? I mean, look, we are just coming off, Lebo, a coaching season in which programs paid unbelievable buyouts to fire coaches. So I don't know that, like, maybe we reached the peak of that happening. Maybe, you know, this stops a program from paying a coach $10 million to not coach there anymore. Maybe it has to. But without football, Lebo, I think conference realignment is certainly on the table because of, I mean, this has already been a discussion with the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is so far behind the SEC and the Big Ten in terms of revenue it gets from television that it was just falling so far behind in terms of what they can do based on what the SEC and what the Big Ten can do. And that's not even to make mention of the Big 12, which is certainly in a better position financially with their contract, television contract in the Pac-12. So, like, that's also part of this, too, because that was, even before this all happened, an issue the Pac-12 is dealing with. So you talk about a revenue shortfall for those, you know, for the Pac-12. On top of that, we're certainly looking at the potential of a Pac-12, Big 12 merger, perhaps. And then, of course, as you mentioned, I mean, you're talking about less scholarships available, and because of Title IX, now you're cutting down, you know, one cost-cutting non-revenue sport and another, and yeah, I mean, there's a tremendous impact that this is going to end up having if there's no football.
And just to let you know, like on the football side, you heard Commissioner Bowlesby say there, you know, they're going to lose $6.6 million by not having the Big 12 tournament. That's a small percentage of what they get for just the football championship game.
Right.
So football is the big dog in the room. And let's real quickly hit on the Cowboys before we let you go. What's going on with Dak Prescott? I mean, what's going to happen down there with the Cowboys and him?
So interesting because it's like been a full offseason of no news. But news with Dak Prescott meeting, like, it's the same story. It's just been repackaged 100 different ways as breaking news. I mean, look, Dak Prescott, the secret here is that Dak Prescott wants a short-term deal because of this new CBA. When the NFL goes to its television partners, and obviously, Bebo, with Mahomes, I know you guys have talked about this too, they're gonna command big-time money with their TV partners, which means you're talking about a significant increase of the salary cap over the next 3, 4, 5 years as this new money becomes infused. Well, NFL owners know this. So do NFL agents. And so, you know, Dak Prescott's agent, Todd France, this is his first quarterback that he's representing. He doesn't want to make a mistake here. And he knows that if they're going to be able to double the salary cap in the next 3 years, and he takes a bad deal today and it doesn't allow his client to cash back in, that's going to be huge. So, I mean, whereas a $35, $40 million contract for quarterback is big today, Lebo, we're talking about $70 million for quarterback in 3, 4 years if the salary cap doubles. So it's basically the Cowboys trying to protect themselves against that versus Dak trying to make sure that if he does accept a more long-term deal, that it's going to be at the top end, $40 million. Because, again, 3, 4 years, $40 million is going to be cheap for a quarterback.
Yeah, timing is everything. I mean, that is definitely the case. Thanks so much for your time, Ari. Enjoy your quarantine with your family.
You be well, Lebo. Stay safe, brother.
It's that New Orleans.
It is that New Orleans. Let's hear now from Gus Kattengell of ESPN 100.3. First off, I see more stuff on the news, Gus. New Orleans is becoming more of a hotspot with this coronavirus thing. How is it affecting you, and what are you seeing around the city?
Yeah, man, it's incredible that it was nuts. Just 2 weeks ago, people around here were complaining about canceling, you know, St. Patrick's Day parades and parties, man. And obviously, you know, we like to party over here. So we'll find any reason to throw literally parades and stuff. And it's just nuts. I mean, you know, including, you know, Saints punter Thomas Morstead was among many of the people that were disappointed that the mayor had called it off. But you know, speaking with people after that, and even 2 days after that, he even posted and said, "Hey, look, I'm going into quarantine," because people started to get a hold of him and me and other different people in media of what maybe local government had been getting news before a lot of us did, and that is that, look, this is going to get bad here, and just the close proximity of people, the way that we socialize. I mean, New Orleans, man, like, one of the toughest things about all of this is we love to go out and eat. We love to you know, to socialize, and that's kind of what we're sort of known for. So, yeah, it's very awkward. It's very sad. It's a restaurant hospitality city. So the amount of restaurants, bars, hotels, et cetera, that have closed and have laid off people, man, it's heartbreaking. We have several clients on our show that we do live remotes at, you know, that are all shut down, and all those employees need work. It's nuts what's happened in 2 weeks.
And one of the first NFL things we saw was the fact that Saints head coach Sean Payton had tested positive for COVID-19. He seems to be doing okay. What's the latest from him? And I did not see anywhere. Did he think he figured out where he might have been exposed?
I think from what I gathered was he had gone to Arkansas. And he's a part with a couple other folks on the team. They own Racehorse. And they like horse racing. And I think they were there at a race that they had over there. Because horse racing is still going on everywhere. Because, of course, it's something you can bet without having people around. So I think that's where he got that from. But, you know, it's nuts when you think about how the Saints are still making news and being a part of it. I had a blast on today's show and yesterday with the Roger Goodell memo to teams to not publicly speak out about not having the draft. Mickey Loomis on Peter King's podcast this week absolutely said that. And, you know, it's funny. So I don't know if it was directed at Mickey Loomis, but I guarantee you the last paragraph there of subject to disciplinary action is an absolute joke to begin with. And you're going to do that. I mean, it's based off of what Mickey Loomis, you know, said publicly, that a lot of GMs feel, including him, that the draft should be pushed back at least a month for people to be able to better be prepared.
Yeah, and, you know, in the end, I guess regular folks are like, we got a lot of different things going on in our lives. The NFL ought to be able to have a draft without having a face-to-face meeting. I mean, they're doing the draft different today than they used to do it, right? I mean, the teams didn't have the money to fly 30 people to their facility back in the day. So if they do this draft, it's going to be old school. And you know what? They played football back in the day, old school. We're all having some changes. I don't know. I suspect a lot of commissioners would rather not have anyone talking about any of the things that are going on. But that memo got out, and it's not a good look. And I'm sure that's been a hot topic in New Orleans. Another thing that's a hot topic, Jed says you need to ask about this. Jed said, there's a new penguin at the zoo down there. Is this correct? And he's named after Zion Williamson. Is that what we have going on?
Yes. Yes, he's a baby penguin, and he's over at the Aquarium of the Americas, and he's named Zion.
Beautiful.
So, look, man, I think that was an easy call, especially with the gesture that he did, and obviously we've seen a lot of other NBA players step up and do that. But when he came out, literally the first weekend that we got shut down, essentially, of state and city, it's what I talked about on our show, too. We're the home of the Pelicans on ESPN New Orleans, so we obviously talk a lot of hoops, and that's the first thing that popped in my head when you started to see that the season was postponed or delayed. I'm like, look, I just know I've been covering since they got here from Charlotte. You know the security people by name. You know we always do a pregame show outside of Section 104, 103 on the concourse. There's the same lady that is out there, you know, with the merchandising and the shirts and the new gear. We always tease the same people that do. You know, cocktails, there's a bar just to the left of us. We just, you know the people, either by name or just by seeing them so much. And they get paid for showing up. And for him to step up and say that he was going to take care of their salaries for the month of May, I mean, for the first 30 days, I thought was pretty cool. And obviously, since then, you've seen Ms. Benson set up a fund. Drew Brees has donated $5 million to try to feed people in the state. So, but, yeah, dude, Zion, he just does it right, man, and he gets it. And look, I can tell you from my standpoint, from speaking to the people that travel with him on a day-to-day basis, you know, when the cameras aren't around, is that literally who he is? Is that really who he is? He is, man. He'd rather you talk about his teammates, and, you know, that's just who he is. He's a genuinely nice dude, and he just gets it. But stuff like that's going to go a long way in having the city truly, truly embrace him as something more than just, you know, a really good athlete.
No one's complaining that this penguin's too fat, though, are they? Are they being nice to the penguin, I hope?
It's incredible. I'm sure somebody. I'm waiting for first take to go off on. You know, too much weight, you know? He's not going to be able to get fish because he's going to sweat and he's going to sink.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I spoke to the Todd Graffinini, voice of the Pels, and David Griffin's talked twice in the last week. And one of the things that that's a sad, you know, byproduct of all this, is Zion was actually getting back into basketball shape. You know, you could see the weight coming off him. That's what I've been telling people so much. The guy hadn't played 20-plus games. You know, I mean, it just give it time, and he's 19. I mean, he's going to be fine, you know?
All right, Gus. Hey, thanks. Stay safe down there. We appreciate your time, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. Anytime. Take care.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was there for Montana Magic at Arrowhead.
Back to pass, Montana. Cocks his arm. Looks right. No one there. Looks left. Throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Joe Montana has done it again!
He was there for the drought breaker in Houston.
Niall Davis starts the playoffs with a bang! 106 yards, touchdown, Chiefs!
And he was there for everything in between.
And it's crazy. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. It's a terrific grace, ladies and gentlemen, of humanity.
No one knows the Chiefs better. He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
He is Adam Teicher from ESPN on the program, not with Seren Petro this time, with Todd Lebo. Seren Petro is off today. Adam, first off, how are you doing? How are you and yours right now through all this COVID-19 coronavirus outbreaks?
We're laying low with the best of them here and staying out of trouble so far. So we're doing fine. I hope you and yours and everybody listening is the same way.
We're doing all right on this end for sure. Now, we can still go outside and do things. Have you been out riding bicycles or running? Are you staying in shape?
Yeah, oh, yeah, every day. Oh, yeah, walking the dog. Oh, yeah, I've been outside quite a bit. Yeah, oh, yeah, that I can't do without. That would be the one rule I would break if that were a rule, but thankfully it's not a rule, so I'm not breaking it.
And we've had a couple of hours of decent weather every day. Hasn't always been great, but I think we're getting near the end here. I hope you got the dog walk before these rains come in tonight. So we'll see how it goes.
If the weather's improving in Kansas City, it must mean it's baseball season. So where are the Royals?
Well, right? It was supposed to be baseball season. They were supposed to be playing yesterday, but that's not happening right now either. That doesn't mean the NFL hasn't been sleeping, though. The NFL has had business going down. Most recently today, we're hearing sources from ESPN that Reggie Ragland has agreed to terms with the Lions. We got quite a few things going on here, right? Mike Pinnell's going to be back. Anthony Sherman's going to be back. They got a couple new guys, Rimmers or whatever, offensive tackle. Reggie Ragland gone. Blake Bell gone. Kendall Fuller gone. What is the biggest coming or going, I guess, of anyone that's going to have the biggest effect on the 2020 Chiefs, assuming they play a regular football season? Are any of those going to make or break this team, any of those signings or free agents leaving?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, Kendall Fuller is kind of a valuable guy. He could do a lot of different things. And I think the Chiefs might have some difficulty finding a guy who can kind of do quite what he did. But other than that, you know, Ragland's role was greatly reduced last year. You know, he didn't play nearly as much last season as he did the year before. You know, Emmanuel Ogba played well before he got hurt, but the Chiefs are fairly deep at his spot. You know, they got Frank Clark and Okafor and Tano Passanio. So, you know, it's not like he was going to be an extremely valuable guy. So, you know, those would be the two guys you really look at as maybe guys that could have had a role had they come back to the Chiefs, but you know, the Chiefs can certainly survive.
Is there anything new happening with Chris Jones at this point? They had the, you know, the franchise tag. I don't expect anything would happen with him for quite a while. Generally, these things would be closer to camp time if you're going to sign the extension, right? I mean, they're under the cap at this point with the number at what it is. So do you think anything can happen anytime soon with him?
No, I mean, you know, you just look. I mean, the sides have been talking for a long time and weren't anywhere close to a deal. And, you know, so unless something drastically changes, you know, the Chiefs have to get away, feel like they have to get away from that $16 million cap number that he's got, which I don't feel like they feel that way right now. Unless something drastic changes, then no, I don't see any movement there. Unless one side or the other comes a long way off the position where they are right now, I just don't see that. So, and I don't sense any enthusiasm on Chris Jones's part to sign the franchise tag. So, this thing has a number of ways it could go, including a trade, like the Chiefs traded Dee Ford last year or acquired Frank Clark. You know, he was Seattle's franchise player. You know, unless something like that develops, you know, the Chiefs are kind of seem to be at a stalemate with Chris Jones.
Now, and I don't think, I mean, I think we kind of knew, but didn't really know till a little bit later. But, you know, when Dee Ford signed the franchise tag, they told them, we're trading you. I mean, there was no surprise when he was traded at all. What is your feeling about what Chris Jones knows about the plans for him? Do you think he feels like the Chiefs want to trade him? Or do you feel like that? Because I don't think there was any stomach for the Chiefs signing Dee Ford to a long-term deal and having him be on the team last year.
Yeah. No, I think the Chiefs would take Chris Jones. I mean, hey, once you have the tender out to Chris Jones, now he until the Chiefs pull that, if they ever do, until they pull that tag, Chris Jones can sign it at any time, and then that money is fully guaranteed. So the Chiefs are on the hook for $16 million for Jones, unless they can find a trade partner, and they don't completely control that. I mean, at some point, somebody would take Chris Jones off the Chiefs' hands if they, you know, they asked for only a seventh round draft choice in return. So the Chiefs don't really completely control that. So it's just one of those deals where the Chiefs have to be okay living with Chris Jones playing on the one-year tag at $16.1 million. So as for exactly for what they've told him, I'm not sure. But, the parallels to the Dee Ford thing last year are they're there. Right? You know, the Chiefs, Brett Veach and Andy Reid said much the same things about Dee Ford last year that they've said about Chris Jones publicly this year. So, there are some similarities there.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. And before we move entirely on from Chris Jones, he could sign the franchise tag, and then they could still sign him to an extension, right? That is still a possibility. It's legally they could do that, correct?
Yes. The limitation is after about, I think it's July 15, some date in July. I think 15th is the right date, though. But the limitation is if he's still an unsigned franchise player, then he can't, after July 15, then he has to either play for the Chiefs on the franchise
or
tag
not
or
play
not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of a deadline for a trade for him would be July 15th.
All right, Adam, what do you make of the league and this memo that got out from Commissioner Goodell about they want to have this draft and they don't want anyone talking bad about it? That's the plan right now. What do you make of that? It's my opinion that there's no question that the NFL can have a draft where no one's in the same room and they just pick players. Okay, I believe that can happen. It's not ideal, right? It's not the way they want to do it. They want to have 15 guys fly into town and sit and talk to them for 6 hours. They want to do that, right? But can do it the other way, right? Where do you stand on kind of what they should kind of be trying to get done with everything else that's going on around America with this coronavirus?
Well, it makes the process a lot more difficult, and not just for the Chiefs, but all the other teams as well. I mean, the lack of pro days, although some schools did have their pro days before they all got shut down, but and the lack of pro days basically is a hindrance. There was some medical information to be gained at those things, and now the teams will go without that. And of course, in Kansas City or in the towns of the NFL teams, they could bring in a bunch of guys before the draft and get some medicals on those guys and sit down and talk with them and have a good one-on-one chat. They can't do that now. So there's all that stuff, and it is going to be a different process. I think some teams maybe will handle it better than others, but it is going to be a difficult process. But yes, they can have a draft, and it sounds like they will have a draft. So unless this virus shows any signs of improving. There's no sense in pushing the draft back. I mean, the teams are better off having a draft sooner rather than later in football terms. So unless things are going to improve and the situation is going to change, why not have the draft when it's supposed to be?
Yeah, and they've turned it into such a big event now. I mean, the first time you were covering the National Football League, the draft was barely on television. I mean, it certainly wasn't an event where they had the green room and all that stuff. Last weekend, you know, since there was no new sports on, the 30 for 30 on the 83 draft was on. I mean, it's just a different deal.
That was a great 30 for 30.
It's amazing. They, you know, all the drama that went around that, but the draft itself, I mean, they were in a hotel ballroom or something like that, and there was someone from every team there with their little helmet desk or whatever, and they just write things down on a card. They don't need to have that stuff. So, you know, they've clearly shown that there's another way to do this, and that didn't mean that John Elway wasn't a Hall of Fame player. No matter, you know, if you got to talk to him and person leading up to it or not, they had the combine, so they've talked to almost every, because even the players that didn't work out at the combine, they all came and talked to them, right? That's what they all do. They all show up at the combine to at least have the interviews and get weighed and measured. So, I don't know. I think I agree with you. You might as well just get it over with, have that part of it done, and see what happens with the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not like, it's not like the teams have no information on these players. I mean, that's it's not like the old days where they basically picked out of a football magazine and were hoping that they got it right. You know, that's not what this is. It'll be a little more primitive than it has been. But maybe it doesn't need. Maybe they just don't need to spend all these man hours on the draft. Maybe they can get it right doing things the way it's going to be done this year.
Well, they got a whole lot of guys in there working their 80 hours a week and doing all that and justifying what they're doing. So I mean, that's kind of what the thing is. And at this point, I think the league likes the party because it's a great event for them to have the party. They've understood that the party's not the thing. The draft is the thing. So they've at least got that part figured out. But we'll see what happens there. Do you think the draft will happen? Do you think anything's going to happen in the next couple of 3 weeks where it says they won't have it? Or do you feel like, what's your percentage, I guess, on whether or not this is going to happen at the dates that they've said in April?
Well, I think it's 100% that it'll happen when they said, unless there's something unforeseen that happens with the virus between now and then. I do think this will go forward, but the league is kind of committed to this. I mean, there were some teams, as we know, that were wanting to push back to start a free agency. That didn't happen. So, they got through free agency. I mean, they made that happen. So there's no reason they can't do a draft here.
All right, Adam, before we let you go, really quickly, what are you watching? You got no March Madness. There's no Sparty on TV tonight. They definitely would have made the Sweet 16, so they would be playing this week. We know that much, but they're not playing. What have you been watching? What's filling your time on the television?
Yeah, not a lot. Believe it or not, I'm writing a book on the Chiefs, on their season and some on their history as well, and it's got to be done end of April. So I've kind of been pouring a lot of my time into that. But I do have kind of a little library of Michigan State, Big Ten tournament games.
There we go.
NCAA tournament games and even a couple regular season games from this year that I haven't had a chance to watch yet. So we're kind of going through those slowly. We're not devouring the collection right away. This might last for a while, right? So we're kind of doling them out slowly.
But, and do you have a football coach right now up there? Who's your football coach?
The guy from Colorado, Mel Tucker.
No, I was waiting to see. Don't tell me the guy from Colorado. You say Mel Tucker's our coach. Come on now.
Yeah, well, it took me a minute to remember his name. he's a new guy. I just put him down on the Rolodex just now.
There you go. Hey, Adam, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy watching some old Sparty games. And if you need any help in that book with some old stories, call me anytime. We'll work it out, okay?
I'll want to know about selling hot dogs in the Arrowhead Sand.
Oh, I used to sell hot chocolate there and make that extra money on them refills. That's how we did it out there, baby.
There you go.
Thanks, Adam. Stay safe, buddy.
All right. Good stuff.
There's Adam Teicher from ESPN right here on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
There's a familiar saying that knowledge is power. But there's another one that may be more to the point, that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. What school has the longest current streak of Sweet 16 appearances? And it will continue as there will not be one this year. The number is 5.
Is this like Oddly Gonzaga or something?
You want to call that Oddly? It is Gonzaga.
Yeah!
How about that?
I got that, baby.
Leibs in the know.
Leibs on fire, man. Answering all those chumps questions right, even though you would call yourself off.
Yeah, I just call myself
off.
Getting
the end of the hours question.
I just did that one. I did it,
Boom.
Baby. Wonderful.
He didn't call himself off this time. That's
no, I didn't. Reminder, top of the hour, Kevin Harlan, Voice of America, joins us. And at 5:30, Clint Bowyer, iRacing is happening on Fox this Sunday with NASCAR. So that'll be pretty interesting to watch. So you can do some of that stuff with the – if you don't have Adam Teicher's collection of Michigan State Big Ten Championship DVDs, you can watch some of those. And tonight on our air at 6 o'clock, we've got – Final Four game from 2012 from the Jayhawk Network between Kansas and Ohio State, and their red-faced Aaron Kraft.
Boo.
And then we've also got, after that, the 1983 NCAA championship game from Westwood One with NC State and Houston. I told you guys that thing was on last week on television. I was explaining it to my daughter, and I said, that team over there wearing the white had two of the best basketball players that there's ever been. And they lost this game to these dudes on that shot. It's crazy.
It's just their misfortune. I mean, a great team. And they came back the next year. They'd been in the Final Four the previous year, 82. And I can't remember who they lost to, Georgetown or North Carolina. I can't recall. But they lost to NC State in 83. Then in 84, they lost to that great Georgetown team who had lost in 82 and eventually lose in 85. So it was just Guy Lewis's misfortune that great team, one, ran into a team of destiny, if you believe in that, and then two, ran into one of the most talented teams in the history of college basketball. It's so many good players in that team, and they got nothing but three Final Fours. That's nothing, but three Final Fours and two championship game appearances, but no flag in Houston.
In 1984, I mean, what are the chances that any of those players would have been in college after 1 year? I mean, you're talking about Olajuwon and Ewing, and they all would have been gone, man. There's no chance that those guys would have
Michael
been there.
Graham, yeah, both those teams.
And
were
Clyde was already gone, so they went back to in 84 without Clyde Drexler. I mean, that's how good Olajuwon was.
And Meshawn, Benny Anders, Kimball's brother, or was it cousin?
Cousin, I think, yeah.
Cousin.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll have those tonight for you. Those will be a little bit of fun. And I do want to remind you again about the donation event that's happening at the tomorrow from 12 to 2. This is through the University of Kansas Health System and Children's Mercy Hospital. They're asking if anyone, any company, or anyone has any of these unused N95 masks you've heard so much about, or unopened surgical masks, unopened hand sanitizer, or unopened soap. You can make donations tomorrow from 12 to 2 at 7700 West 143rd Street. That's the Blue Valley Schools Hilltop Campus, the big white buildings up there. You can drive it through there. They will take it from you. You know, you're not going to have to get out of the car, touch anything. They'll do all it for you. More information online at jococomedicaldonations.weebly.com. So check that out and check our social media feeds, because we're out there tweeting and gramming about it. I guess they are. We snapping about it. We're doing all of those things. If you've got some stuff, because I know a lot of construction and painting, places like that, they have some of these masks. If you got some you'd like to donate for right here in Kansas City, you can do it tomorrow from 12 to 2, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, this city always does kind of – we mentioned this last week. This is one of the rare times. Generally, this city comes together in times of crisis, and this week we're challenged to come together by staying apart. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. But I think anywhere you go, you're going to see people who are just like, nah, I'm not going to do
that. You have to stay vigilant in all this stuff, too.
Yep,
I mean, it's been 4 days since the rules in Kansas City. Now, I think people have been socially distancing for probably longer than that, a couple of weeks, really. When this stuff got real with basketball, it started happening then. But the real rules have been in place here in Kansas City for just a few days. You got to stay vigilant. On this stuff, and don't just let your guard down, because you don't know anyone who's got this. So,
don't want a second wave to happen.
No, you don't. We'll hear from Kevin Harlan next, how he's filling his time by not calling the NBA or March Madness games, but he's filling his time. We'll have fun with Kevin Harlan next, right here on the program.
The burnt end of the hour question.
brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, two Royals pitchers have struck out eight batters on opening day. Name either one. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.